director over at Vermont Public Radio. John Dillon's going to join us. We'll talk a little bit about some of the campaigns. What an honor. Let's give a nice warm Radio Vermont welcome this morning to Alan Toussaint, who is a musician, songwriter, and record producer, and one of the most influential people in rhythm and blues down in the Big Easy of beautiful New Orleans. Alan's going to be heading up here to Vermont, where he's going to be performing on Tuesday, 7 p.m., with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, and that's all being done in connection with the folks up at Kingdom County Productions. If you go to kingdomcounty.org, you can get a lot more information about tickets. Alan, thank you very much for joining us. How are things down in New Orleans today?
Wonderful. However, I'm on the road and looking forward to getting to your area.
Now, I know you have lived in New Orleans almost forever and the devastation that happened after Katrina. So how are things today, and particularly how are things in the music scene? Has it really come back?
Things are wonderful in New Orleans, better than ever. We've been flexing new muscles and feeling good about it, and the music scene is surely back. Everything that was, is, and even more enthusiasm.
And are people coming? Are people staying away?
All people are coming back, and so many are back. And there's a few folk who may have not come back yet, but anyone I ever run into who's away, they are on the way back. New Orleans has a very strong pull.
Tell me what happened when Katrina hit. Where were you, and what happened? I know you had some pretty heavy destruction, too, happen to your place.
Oh, yes. Well, my house and studio was totally lost, but it was fine because it served me well to that day. And I migrated to New York, and I stayed there for a couple of years, even though I would visit from time to time. But we had martial law for a while that we couldn't stay in the city. So New York was a wonderful place for me. It was very inspiring. But as soon as I could get back on permanent basis, New Orleans, I did, and was glad to do so. And again, I say the rebuilding and the things that were repaired should have been done long before Katrina.
Mm. I don't want to get too heavy with you about this, but obviously, you know, it's a big event in your life. It was a big event in the country's life. Did you learn anything from this? Did you gain anything from it?
Well, the most important thing was something I was suspicious of anything. Anyway, is how much you can let go of. You can let go of anything better than you could a human being. But so many things that we thought we couldn't live without, you find out you can live without a whole lot of things you've been living with. And I was glad to come to that realization, and many others as well.
Mm. So what'd you lose? What'd you lose in the floods?
Well, all the memorabilia and everything that was in the house, the only thing I had was some video tapes that I had that I was going to take to a hotel and sort of go through them so when the storm was over, I could know when I'm editing them what was where and could find out that was the only thing that was saved in the whole house. So everything else I owned was gone.
Wow.
And I had two cars, and someone came and got my cars the day before the storm and took them to a high-rise parking lot, so they were saved. But the house and everything in it, and the studio and the Steinway pianos, everything and all the memorabilia and the arrangements, all of that and recordings were gone.
Wow.
When I did come back, when I was able to get back in the city after martial law was lifted and saw everything, I bid it farewell, and that it had served me well to that, and I was really all right about it. It was like a baptism rather than a drowning.
Mm. We're talking with musician Alan Toussaint. You can join us at 244-1777, our local number. The number of people that have recorded your songs is just mind-blowing. Bonnie Raitt, Otis Redding, Phish, Boz Scaggs, The Who, The Rolling Stones. I could kind of keep going on and on here. What I'm wondering is it as satisfying to you to hear somebody else record your song, or is it more satisfying to do your own?
It's far more satisfying to hear others record my songs. For one thing, most of the songs I've ever written, I wrote them for someone else to sing anyway. And then after that, there begin to be many covers of the song. And I'm always extremely grateful and surprised at the various versions, and overwhelmingly grateful. That's because I figure that's what they do. They front stage center singers and artists, and I'm one who works in the background, writer, producer, and arranger. So I do what I do, and they do what they do. And when it comes together and it's a quote-unquote success, I love that dearly. And even when it's not as big a hit, I'm grateful that people think enough of my songs to cover them.
So is it sort of the feeling like you might have seeing your kid doing well in a sporting event? What's the analogy that I'm reaching for here?
I love that. I wish I'd have thought of that. But anyway, yes, I love that. To see that someone, for one thing, cared enough about it and took it into their heart and soul to learn it, study the lyrics, study the melody, and make it a part of their lives. That's a biggie. That's quite a collaboration. And it's for some people who I've never met, maybe never will meet. But we are connected anyway by a song.
Let me take a couple of calls here for you. Let's go to Cabot. Tony, good morning.
Good morning. And good morning, Professor. How are you doing? And Mark, you may know that the term professor is reserved for the highest echelon of piano players in the New Orleans community, and so I use that term with a lot of respect.
Okay.
And thank you for all your music. I'm just wondering, I've just recently discovered, as if it were possible to discover something new, Snooks Eaglin, and I heard him recently on an original recording of Tina Nina New, and I'm wondering if you might say something about his contributions to the R&B world.
Na, 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 na. Yes, Snooks Eaglin and I started a band when we were 14 called the Flamingos, a New Orleans group of neighborhood musicians. We were 13 and 14 years old, and the other members of the band was around the same age. And Snooks Eaglin was playing when he was 13 and 14, as he played when he was 30 and 40. If there's such a thing as genius, it should be pinned on him in bright colors. He was an amazing. I first heard him when he was 7 years old, and he was a monster of guitars. Even at 7 years old, he played like a grown man. He was amazing.
Alan's going to be performing on Tuesday with the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. If you want to get tickets, you can call 748-2600. You can also go online to kingdomcounty.org.
So, one moment, sir. Yeah. One moment, sir. I'll go ahead.
So let me go back. Or Alan, are you,
hello?
You with us there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
so
here.
So let me ask you this. So Elton John described you. There's this great quote about you. He says, when I meet somebody like Alan Toussaint, that for me is like meeting, you know, someone the equivalent of the Dalai Lama, because for me, he influenced the way I played the piano. What's it like to have Elton John compare you to the Dalai Lama?
It is amazing. For one thing, he's an amazing musician and writer. And everything, and what an entertainer, and he's full of theater, and he has longevity. I mean, he's just a superb entertainer. I dearly appreciate Elton John's comment, and I appreciate him as a fellow musician.
Let's go to the phone. Joel Nashman, good morning.
Good morning, and such an honor to speak even briefly with the professor. I just want to say I thoroughly enjoy your work with Lee Dorsey, especially working in the coal mine and Ride Your Pony. Terrific, terrific records of their time. But my question is, I've noticed you have an incredible facility for interesting melodies. Just by example, with Cream, which Herb Alpert covered on you and was used as a theme for The Dating Game. And,
oh, God,
and,
yeah.
And particularly Java that Al Hurt did. And I think you wrote that when you were in your teens, right?
Good heavens, you know a lot about me. Yes, I did write that in my teens. Yes.
Yeah.
remarkable material. So looking forward to the concert in St. Johnsbury.
Now, I'm going to give you a free plug here. You're also going to be talking to Alan coming up over on Vermont Public Radio at some point. When is that?
Well, we have between 8 and 9 p.m. It's a celebration of Alan's music from the very early days, the wild sound of New Orleans, all up to his more recent recordings and all the records he produced and wrote, as much as we could squeeze into 1 hour, 8 to 9 o'clock on Saturday. And during the day on WDEV, on the music hall program, going to play a lot of Alan's music. It's one of the true living legends and great masters of the sound of the Crescent City. So, such an honor to have you coming back to Vermont.
Thanks, Joel. You know, it was amazing. I didn't realize the reach of your music even extended to that theme for the dating game. That is an incredible story right there.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Tell me, how did that happen?
Well, the reason the song was written itself, Whipped Cream, was when I went to the military and I had a small band that we played on the weekends, and when they learned I had written Java, they thought that was the funniest thing in the world because they considered Java sort of popcorn size, the average teenagers who played, at least the young people who played all of the top 40 and whatever. So since I was in charge of the band, I wrote about 30 songs in the air of Java, and Whipped Cream was one of them. And they had to play them every night, so I had to, sort of a lap on them.
Huh.
But we released the song Whipped Cream on an album by the Stokes, and Herb Albert covered it, which was wonderful. And it wound up being the theme song for the dating game. I dearly appreciated that, of course.
Oh, boy. That's too good to be true. Hey, thank you for your time this morning. Safe travels up here to Vermont.
Thank you, sir.
Alan Toussaint is going to be performing on Tuesday night, 7 p.m., you can get tickets. Let me give you a couple of different ways that you can purchase tickets. You can go to the kingdomcounty.org site, kingdomcounty.org. I'll get you a phone number here in just a moment, too. And again, just a couple of quick preliminary notes for you. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we're going to be chatting with local author Charles Johnson, and we'll also be talking with the news director over at Vermont Public Radio, John Dillon. Phone number to get tickets for the show, which is going to be at Fuller Hall at the St. Johnsbury Academy. Again, that's on Tuesday night, 7 p.m. You can call 748-2600. That's 748-2600. Or you can also check out the webpage kingdomcounty.org. If you ever miss any of the programs that we have, the interviews we have, I do post them as podcasts. Those are easy to get. Download them for free. And you can do that by heading to our program website at markjohnsonshow.com. Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Hope you have a fabulous rest of the day. And do come back and join us same time, same place tomorrow. Coming up tonight on Vermont Public Television, I'll be moderating a debate with the lieutenant governor candidate. So if you have some time, might want to check that out, or if you have some interest in that race. This is FM 96.1 WDEV Warren, broadcasting from the top of Sugarbush, FM 96.5 in Barrie and Montpelier, and the flagship AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier. Stay tuned for news.
AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley.